competition.
If you go in with the idea that you may not get anywhere, you may not win, but you have to focus on the chance that you might and prepare for it, it's a really good discipline.
Piano season of the BBC continues with an A to Z of the piano daily on In Tune. Weekdays, 4:30 to 6:30 on BBC Radio 3.
This is BBC Radio 3 on 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and also online. The time now is 11:30 and it's time for Jazz Lineup, presented this week by Claire Martin.
Hello, who's this talking about his interpretation of Charlie Parker tunes?
People were generally intrigued. What's this about? If they didn't know Parker, they wanted to know more. And if they did know Parker, they were quite happy to hear a new take on it.
Yes, it's Django Bates, and I interviewed him recently about his new CD, Confirmation, and you can hear that conversation a little bit later on. And Georgia Mancho's Revoice Festival 2012 is about to get underway, and she joins me to preview that festival shortly. To start the show today, something from the new album from guitar great John Scofield. Entering his fifth decade as a master of the instrument, he's well known for giving each album he releases a deliberate theme. A moment's piece is, as the title suggests, a collection of ballads comprised of original material and jazz standards. The track I've chosen, however, was written by the wonderful jazz singer Abby Lincoln, and it's Throw It Away.
Thank you.
John Scofield with Abbey Lincoln's Throw It Away, and playing with him on his new release called A Moment's Peace is bassist Scott Coley and the remarkable Brian Blade on drums, and Larry Goldings is on piano and organ. The album's produced by John Scofield and is out on the Emercy label. Made Possible is the eighth studio album for The Bad Plus, who've spent more than a decade playing their very individual take on what a piano, bass, drums trio can be. The Bad Plus have broken down the walls of jazz convention and created an uncompromising body of work. The Guardian said of them, "If the Coen brothers put together a jazz trio, perhaps it would be like this. The comic and the dramatic rolled together." On this new outing, they're adding layers of synthesizers and electric drums to their already very original sound. Pianist Ethan Iverson, bassist Reed Anderson, and drummer David King are The Bad Plus, and this is Wolf Out.
Thank you.
Wolf Out play By The Bear Plus from their new CD entitled Made Possible, which consists of 8 originals plus a nod to the late Paul Motion as they include his composition Victoria on this release, which is out now on the E1 Entertainment Universal label. You'll listen to Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin. But Giorgio Manchio's Revoice Festival 2012 will run this year from the 12th to the 18th of October at the Pizza Express Dean Street in London, and then on the 19th and 20th of October at the Union Chapel in Islington. Giorgio, welcome to the studio. An extremely brave initiative in your third year.
Yes, I know. That is quite incredible. And it's bigger than last year in the sense that we've now moved, as you said, these two dates at the Union Chapel, which is really exciting. Well, we were sort of looking for ways to expand, you know, the festival, and it happened really by chance that we met up with John Elson of ESIP, who had some dates booked in at the Union Chapel. So we talked about collaborating on a couple of concerts, talked about some artists, and have incredibly ended up with Ralmidon on the 19th and Tuck and Patty on the 20th.
Brilliant. And what great acoustic for the voice and for that really quite intimate setting. So as you say, this is your third year. Did you expect for it to carry on like this? I mean, this is an ongoing thing, or did you think it was a one-off that first year?
I think every year's been sort of, it's brought its own, elements, and it's been a learning curve every single year. And I think I do have to credit Ross Steins at the Pizza Express because he's really been so encouraging and a driving force.
He's great, isn't he?
You do need a lot of energy to keep something like this going.
But in return, he gets amazing things happening in his club. Like, for instance, you really did break Gregory Porter, bringing him over here. He's now a sellout. I know he's sold out this year.
Absolutely, yeah.
And great for you.
Absolutely. That was quite an amazing thing because, as you say, when we brought him last year, he was already known, but when I actually booked him, he wasn't at all known, and we even discussed putting him on at the weekend because he wasn't established here, and sort of in the run-up between me booking him and in doing the first Revoice last year, he already had a huge following, and now this was a last-minute booking because we had a cancellation, and the tickets sold,
brilliant,
in half a day or something.
Great.
Two shows.
Good for him. He's such a lovely guy. Well, it's good for you as well, of course, because you get to do all the curating, but you also get to perform alongside all of these fabulous artists. So let's hear a bit of you in your own right from your last album, Silhouette, which was a really brave venture. You did lots of your own lyrics.
So. Yeah, that was a big departure for me. And, hopefully that'll be something I'll be doing a lot more of in the future.
Good for you. This is the track Solace. You've got Tim Lapthorne, who wrote it and is on the piano with you, Dave Ohm on the drums, and Julie Walkington on the bass. This is from Silhouette, and it's Solace. Thank you.
a spark that lights the way. On we move on through scenes been and gone, all around a dreaming while their final reels play on. How still are the strangers I journey with as we rumble on to order ending, wending through this land unknown.
Solace from the album Silhouette by Georgia Mancho, who's talking to me about her third Revoice Festival 2012. So, Georgia, Jazz Lineup are recording Jamie Davis this year, along with yourself at the Pizza Express. Now, I've never heard of him, I'm embarrassed to say. Tell me all about him.
I didn't know him. He wasn't somebody on my radar for a long time. I don't know how, as you say, because he's got the most beautiful, real bass baritone, very rich voice. And, you know, pure jazz sensibilities, but lots of blues in there, lots of soul in there. And, you know, he's sung with Count Basie and Milt Jackson and Eddie Henderson and Pharoah Sanders.
Wow. So he's a mature singer.
Yes, he's a mature singer, which, you know, I really want to champion that more and more, actually, because I think it gets very easy to sort of forget people who've been in the business a long, long time, because it's just the way of life, I guess, that a new artist comes up and everyone sort of wants to talk up that new artist. So he's going to be performing. He's actually played in London a couple of times. But he's coming to play for two nights on Saturday the 13th and Sunday 14th of October. And he's got a fantastic all-British all-star lineup, you know, with Alex Garnett and Leon Greening.
Great.
So that's going to be a good couple of nights.
So how do you choose your acts? I mean, presumably the whole world wants to be involved, or they should do, singers-wise, involved in your festival. So how do you sort of, you're saying they're mostly American this year, but on the whole, how do you gauge it? How do you choose?
It's difficult to sort of set yourself too many, you know, rigid ideas at the beginning, because, you know, logistics play a big part, unfortunately.
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, often the practicalities of trying to bring not just an artist, but especially if they're touring with their band, which is always nice for, you know, for the artist and for the audience to see that band. You do have to consider whether they're touring in Europe and, you know, whether it's just going to work.
Yeah.
And when that happens, it's fantastic. So, you know, I start off with a long list of, you know, people, and there's sometimes people, you know, I've been trying to get for 2 or 3 years. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Mm. Sometimes they cancel and things happen, you know, do change. But then the other nice thing is that sometimes you come across people by complete chance and somebody suggests somebody, and that's great. It's very organic. But I guess the main criteria really for me is someone who has their own voice.
Well, that brings me on nicely to the piece that we're going to play in here in a minute, because this is an all-female a cappella band, and it's not jazz, is it, really? It's kind of gospel tinge, lots of biblical references and stuff. So tell me about Mikali.
Yeah, Mikali. Well, this is a project that came to me by accident, by finding somebody else and then, you know, ended up with this group. And they are formed by the cult composer and saxophonist John Zorn, who had a whole series, or has an ongoing series of projects called the Book of Angels, the Masada Project, and it involves many different musicians like Yuri Kane and Joey Barron and Mark Ribo. And he suggested to a couple of singers that he knew, that one is on his label, an a cappella project. And so it's all his music, but with their own input in as far as the text goes and the lyrics goes. And they really draw on all sorts of different sources. They sing in Hebrew and Yiddish and Ladino, French and Arabic, Spanish.
Great.
And they're a multicultural group. So,
and it's their UK debut as well,
isn't
it?
It's their UK debut.
So they must be excited. What night are they playing?
They're playing on Thursday the 18th of October, so the last night at the Pizza Express.
Right, OK. So who else have we got? We've got Leanne Carroll. Now she's a national treasure.
So I thought it was befitting of a national treasure to have a new national holiday.
Lovely.
So this is the first year, and maybe it will carry on every year to have a Leanne Carroll day or night.
That's very, very good.
So it's great because I'm going to do the duo opening set with her, and then she's going to play with her band, who are, you know, long established.
But you've got a natural flair for this. I mean, The Guardian has said that this is, you know, they've reported that it's packed with high class artists and original vision, which is brilliant considering how many festivals that there are. That, you know, you've been lauded with that praise. Do you think you've got a natural ability for curating? Is this something that you could expand as your career moves forward? I mean,
I don't know where I haven't sort of got a long term plan of where it would go, but I'd love to carry on.
Mm.
But I think, I don't know. I think when you're open to, you know, other artists and, you know, and you get lots of influences, and that's, it feels like an education to me, or continuing of my education, because I didn't come up through the college ranks. And so I learnt a lot from, really, from everything, from musicians and playing with musicians and hearing musicians and hearing, you know, vocalists like yourself, you know, on our scene, and then, you know, obviously internationally. So it just feels like a natural sort of continuum of that, really. But also I think the learning curve of working with different people in a duo setting as well, it's so intense. It's just half an hour we do, and you know, you just have to hit the ground running, really, and stretch yourself to do things you wouldn't maybe do within the safe confines
so
of your
brave.
Band or, you know.
And of course you're doing a duet with the great Lawrence Cuttle.
I am, and that's a rematch
phenomenal.
From last year, and we're really excited about that because that's going to be opposite the amazing Realm with Dawn. So That really will be a great night. That's at the Union Chapel. So it felt like, the, you know, a really nice pairing with
Lovely.
What he's doing.
So, again, it's running from the 12th to the 18th at the Pizza Express in Dean Street, London. Then, of course, you've got the two extra nights now, the 19th and 20th, at the Union Chapel in Islington. And we're going to play a track now called Balam by Mikali. And they're doing their UK debut on the final night on the 18th. So, Georgia, really good luck.
Thank
it's
you going to so
be
much.
Fantastic. Well, you can have a nice day off on the 21st.
I will be.
and good luck with it. It's brilliant.
Thank you very
well
much.
Done.
קרא שכב כארי וחיל האוויר מי יקימנו. קרא שכב כארי וחיל האוויר מי יקימנו. קרא שכב כארי וחיל האוויר יקימנו. קרא שכב כארי וחיל האוויר מי יקימנו.
That was the track Balam by Mikali, appearing at this year's Georgia Manchos Revoice Festival. And that runs this year from the 12th to the 18th of October at the Pizza Express in Dean Street, Soho, London. And then, as we talked about, on the 19th and 20th of October at the Union Chapel in Islington. And thank you to Georgia for coming in and talking to us. But if you simply can't wait until the festival starts on the 12th, then superb vocalist Sarah Moule presents her Femme Fatale show at the Pizza Express on Wednesday, the 3rd of October, accompanied by the much in-demand pianist Simon Wallace. She then appears at the Herne Hill Festival on Friday, the 19th of October, and at Lauderdale House on Thursday, the 25th of October. This is Jazzline Up on BBC Radio 3, online, on FM and on digital radio. Jazz Lineup celebrates 50 years of jazz at the Fairfield Halls in Croydon. Opened on the 2nd of November back in 1962 by Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Mother, Fairfield Halls has enjoyed much success over the years with many landmark classical and pop rock concerts, and also the big names in jazz who've also performed there over the past 50 years. As in many of the provincial theatres in the 60s and 70s, the likes of Duke Ellington, Ella Fitzgerald, Count Basie, Dizzy Gillespie, Sarah Vaughan, Woody Herman, Stan Kenton and Buddy Rich all appeared at the Fairfield Halls. To celebrate these and other jazz names appearing in Croydon since the 60s, the BBC Big Band will be marking this anniversary on Friday the 26th of October with a concert conducted by Jeeks Wigham, former a Kenton trombonist, and introduced by Claire Teal, to be recorded for BBC Radio 2's Big Band special. In addition, following the concert, there'll be a free jazz event at the foyer performance area to be recorded for BBC Radio 3's jazz lineup, featuring live and recorded music and interviews, all reflecting Fairfield's 50 years. Julian Joseph and Alan Barnes and his musicians take part in this event. So if any listeners have their own personal recollections of some of the great jazz events at the Fairfield Halls, some of these memories could be featured on the programme. Please do contact us at jazzlineup@bbc.co.uk. That's all your memories from the Fairfield Halls in Croydon. Send them to jazzlineup@bbc.co.uk. Pianist composer extraordinaire Django Bates joined me last week to talk about his new release, Confirmation. Before we hear that interview, let's hear a track from the album, and this is his own composition, Dimple. Thank you. Dimple, composed and played by pianist Django Bates, with Petter Eld on double bass and Peter Bruhn on drums. And it's taken from Django's latest CD out this September, entitled Beloved Confirmation. And I'm pleased to say Django has joined me in the studio today to talk about the project. Welcome, Django.
Thank you very much.
Well, your last album before this, Beloved Bird, you Django-ized the 1940s bebop themes of your childhood hero, Charlie Parker. Just want to ask you first, how did other Charlie Parker fans react to your approach, your take on these tunes?
They were surprisingly tolerant and quite happy, I think. Yeah, I had no idea how it was going to be received. I thought there was a danger that people who knew the originals would be annoyed by the Djangoisation, and that people who didn't know the originals would just say, well, what the hell's it all about? Mm. But actually, it kind of works the other way around. People were generally intrigued. What's this about? If they didn't know Parker, they wanted to know more. And if they did know Parker, they were quite happy to hear a new take on it.
Fantastic. Just the story, is it true, the story of you whistling Charlie Parker lines in public spaces when you were younger in order to try and get a response from a nearby fan? It's quite hilarious. Is that true?
It's totally true. It's more like I felt quite isolated knowing this music and growing up with it, and so I was desperate to find other people who I could talk about it with and rave about it. And that's how I did that. And funny, my dad read those liner notes the other day and he said, oh, that's weird. I did exactly the same thing with Louis Armstrong when I was a kid. Couldn't find anyone else who knew about that music and wanted to celebrate it, and just went to the... wherever he was.
And whistled.
Whistling.
Didn't sing and try and do the voice and everything.
No, I don't think so, no.
So what line did you whistle? And Steve Buckley was, I don't know, where were you, train station or something? He whistled something back to you. Do you remember what tune it was?
Yeah, we'd both been on this jazz summer school in Stockwell. And so I had seen him, like, getting on off the train with a saxophone player, but I was very shy and didn't dare speak to him. He was about 6 foot tall even then, and I was probably about 4.5 feet. I think I was 13 years old at that time. And so it's more like a confirmation of, right, we're both interested in the same music. We've been on the same jazz course all week. It's finished now. It's the last day. Maybe we should have a conversation and make sure we can keep in touch. So we did. I used to go around to his parents' house in St Mary's Cray, and we'd be shown into the little glass house on the back, and we'd just sit at the piano and noodle away and try and understand bebop, try and get to the bottom of it all.
On your new CD, Confirmation, there are three more Parker compositions. So what are you looking for? Because there's so much to choose from in Charlie Parker. What specifically are you looking for? Were these three that didn't make the last album because you're sort of saving them?
Good question. When we made the first album, because we hadn't played together on the road much. In fact, we hadn't done a gig at that point. So we'd play these tunes very intensely, do some solos, then play the tune out again, and then realise that we'd made a piece of music 3 minutes long. So we didn't have the power to develop things very much between us as a band. So we ended up with an album that was 35 minutes originally. And I was struggling to find more time, more material. So I said in the studio, right, let's just play Confirmation and pretend that I've arranged it in this way and see what happens. So we all started playing it, and it just sounded like an Englishman, a Dane and a Swede trying to play bebop and showing that they do know how it works, but what's the point kind of thing. So we abandoned that. We didn't get anywhere with that. So it was kind of left over, unresolved from the first album. So when it came to the second album, I really wanted to go back and take Confirmation and do the same thing with it, go into it in depth and have some fun with it. Donnelly, someone had suggested, when we only had this 35 minute original album, someone had said, well, do Donnelly, that's a really good tune. And I said, I've never really worked out how to approach that piece.
Can you give us an example of how you go about deconstructing and then reconstructing it? Can you talk me through one?
If we take Confirmation, I look at the tune and look for little corners where Charlie Parker has done something dramatic, and then I exaggerate that. It's a bit like a cartoonist drawing a picture of a politician. you take the most important features and exaggerate them increasingly till they become quite ridiculous. So, and then another game is in bebop, there's a lot of triplet things. So where we've got those, sometimes I straighten those out so it goes. And then you get a weird length bar, which is another way of kind of cartooning or drawing attention to something, or just kind of wrong-footing the listener. Not in a jarring way. It's just meant to keep you excited and interested. Donna Lee, for a different example, there's a bass line underneath all of that, which goes etc. That repeats, and that's 14 beats long, and then you kind of squeeze the tune into that form just by extending certain notes.
Sounds really easy the way you do it.
Yeah, have a go. Have a go and send me the results and we'll do it on the next tour.
So obviously the musicians you're working with are crucial to sort of getting this to work. You just mentioned them briefly. Just tell us what you're looking for in musicians. How do you choose the guys to play this music with?
Well, one of the things I need is I need them to be quite disobedient, funnily enough. So I write all this detail in the music and give it to them, and I really love the fact that they still build on what I've given them. So if I'd just written everything in there and given it to some guys that just play it perfectly, I think I'd probably have a slight sense of lacking something. And I think it's I want their input, and I want the bass and the drummer to be goading me in a way when we're playing together live. That's really important. Otherwise, I don't know, you would just make the record and then that's it. The statement's done, it's never going to change. But these guys are really the opposite. They're quite naughty with what I write. And sometimes I just let it go. And other times I say, would be nice if you actually played that bar that I've written, because I put a lot of work into it. The bass player, he's like a great kind of punk mentality, full of energy. His girlfriend's a singer in a kind of in her own pop thing, and he plays electric bass in that, so he's full of different influences. The drummer is really quite anarchic artistically, so they're a great pair.
Well, just to throw a bit of a spanner in the works here and just take you back a bit, I'm going to play you something to see if you can sort of name that tune, Django Bates. You can have as many notes as you like. And have a listen, see if you can tell us what it is and what was going on around the time you did it.
Thanks.
Away.
Django Bates, I've always wanted to say this. Name that tune.
Speak Low.
Very good. Singer?
Josephine Cronholm.
Pianist?
Me.
Yeah, and of course we both said Ian Bellamy. Do you remember that album?
And Martin France, Michael Mondesi. Yeah, it's really nice to hear it because you know what it's like when you make something, the putting it in order, the mixing, the mastering, the cover, all of that stuff is so... so intense that
draining.
By the time you get to the end of that and you think, right, that's it, great, I don't have to listen to any of that ever again, although it's a treat. And then suddenly you're in a room in London and someone plays it and it just takes you right back. It's beautiful.
Beautiful singing.
And that was, I remember being in the studio, Blackwing, because it was a very special place. It was an old church opposite Martin France's place in London, which was handy for cups of tea and stuff. And very dark, no windows, very moody, which was the idea of that whole album. Mm. The album was called Quiet Nights. And it was very small versions of standards, jazz standards.
We're going back to the new record now, released this September, Beloved, Confirmation. We've talked about the three Charlie Parker tracks you've put on here, but there's also some fantastic original tunes. Dimple we played earlier, one of my favourites. So these you've written especially for this album. Let's talk about what you're trying to get across with your original tunes. I don't think you write complicated for complicated sake, and it's not awkward. And I've spoken to, in fact, Martin France today, and he was talking about when he looks at your writing, it seems tough at first, but it really does come together, and it's almost like it's an illusion. And by three or four takes, he's really in. So is that when you write original tunes, what's the priority for you?
I'm afraid the answer is just very simple. I'm just trying to express myself. I know that sounds a bit of a cliche, but that is what we're meant to be doing here. And actually, a lot of the tunes on here that are by me, like Sense of Bitterness, Dimple...
Sadness All the Way Down, I'd like to talk about as well.
In fact, those two, Sense of Bitterness and Dimple, they were written a long time ago. I used to play those with Steve Arcueles when it was just me and him in a band, in a version of Human Chain. And I think the newer stuff that I've written is still quite simple in that way, unlike what I write for a big band.
Let's play one more tune before we say goodbye and pick a tune and tell us why.
Oh, do I get to choose?
Yeah.
I'd like to hear Sadness All the Way Down. After the first album, when I thought, right, this is an ongoing project, I wanted to write some new music for it. And rather than sitting at the piano and getting bogged down in piano-ness, I just had a walk around the Lee Valley with a pencil and paper and just wrote down a few very simple ideas, just in words. And one of them was, start at the top of the piano, go all the way down to the bottom. It's so childish. But, you know, that was enough. That was my job. So when I got back, I actually sat there and did that in a way that would make something very profound, you know. And a few of the other tunes came from similar things that I wrote down. I just wanted to be very direct. And it's actually easier to write away from the piano sometimes.
Let's hear Sadness All the Way Down from Django Bates' Beloved Confirmation CD, which is out next month. Django, brilliant to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Sadness All the Way Down from Django Bates, and taken from his new CD Confirmation, out next week on Lost Marble Records. And thank you very much to Django for coming in and talking with me. You're listening to Jazz Lineup with me, Claire Martin. Staying with the piano trio format, the John Turville Trio are one of the leading contemporary jazz trios in the UK today. They've been playing together for over 10 years and are John Turville leading the trio from the piano, bassist Chris Hill, whose composition Old Park Avenue we're about to hear, and drummer Ben Reynolds. Set to be released on October the 1st on the Fire label, the CD is called Conception, and it follows his 2011 release Midas that won the Parliamentary Jazz Award Album of the Year. Let's hear Old Park Avenue. From the brand new CD Conception by the John Turville Trio, that was the Chris Hill composition Old Park Avenue. And you can hear them live as they start their tour next week at the Fleece in Colchester on the 5th of October, and we wish them all the best with that. Well, before I go, here's an invitation you can't miss. Jazz Lineup are recording a special programme as part of the BBC's piano season. It's a concert to celebrate John Taylor's 70th birthday. It's held at the Radio Theatre within BBC Broadcasting House in London on Saturday the 20th of October at 7:30pm and broadcast the following evening. John will be joined by his quartet of Julian Siegel on saxes and bass clarinet, Oren Marshall on tuba, Chris Lawrence on bass and Martin France on drums. And there'll be an appearance of Richard Fairhurst also on piano. I'll be introducing the event and you can get free tickets from the BBC Ticket Unit by going to the Radio 3 homepage and look for Jazz Lineup. That's all on Saturday the 20th of October for John Taylor's special 70th birthday concert at the BBC Radio Theatre in Broadcasting House in London at 7:30pm. But that's all for this week. Don't forget to check out Jez Nelson tomorrow night on Jazz on 3. Next week, join me for an on-the-road edition of Jazz Lineup made at the 10th Scarborough Jazz Festival, when Dave Green, Alan Barnes and Gareth Williams are all playing for us. Until next week, from me, Claire Martin, bye-bye.
I'm John Shea and welcome once again to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night. Now, it may not have escaped your attention that the piano is firmly in the spotlight across the BBC this autumn. As part of the BBC piano season, Monday evenings on Radio 3 are currently devoted to the instrument, and I'm starting this programme today by exploring the Central European tradition through recordings made by some of its greatest exponents in the mid-20th century. Hungary scores particularly highly. We'll be hearing from Bartok himself, as well as Dohnányi, Annie Fischer, Geza Ander and György Cifra. Romania's contribution, by contrast, tends to be represented in such surveys by just one person, Dinu Lipati. Here he is playing a sonata by Domenico Scarlatti. Sonata in G by Domenico Scarlatti is number 387 in the Longo catalogue of his works, and it was played there by Dinu Lipati. The Hungarian Annie Fischer was a reluctant and highly self-critical recording artist. One of her calling cards was Mozart. Arthur Hutchings called the F major piano sonata, Köchel 332, the summit of expression that Mozart reached without departing from the formality and reticence of his epoch, although I must say Annie Fischer's performance of it here does perhaps nudge it over the edge.
Thank you.